Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa. Today on the show, I am pleased to welcome Shannon Kaiser. Shannon is the author of two books of which I am obsessed, Adventures for Your Soul and Find Your Happy. Find Your Happy is a book that I'm currently reading two pages out of every morning when I have my quiet time. And this is a woman who I think I discovered her. Somebody posted about her books on Instagram, and I picked one up, and it was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life, because reading her books, they just hit me like a strike of lightning. She's got an amazing story that we talk about on the show of how she left corporate America to pursue what she really loves, which is writing. And she just has found her passion, and what her passion is helping people, well, let me just say, find your happy. And that might sound very simple, but you'll hear on the show, it's not that simple. This is about looking at your life, figuring out that you've got more choices than you think, attacking your self-limiting beliefs, and finding a way to live that is far less stressful and far more happy. And you know what? Happiness equals health. That's why we're focusing a lot about finding your happy on the show. And so when Shannon said yes to being on the show, I was, well, giddy with excitement, to be real. So I'm just going to warn you, I geek out quite a lot on the show, but Shannon is worth the listen. I promise you're going to be a fan after you listen to this interview. You'll want to go out and buy all of her new books. She's also revealed in this interview, she's got a new one coming up this fall. Very excited about that. So please tune in and listen to this great interview and talk with Shannon Kaiser. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today I am honored to have with me Shannon Kaiser on the show. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
I've warned you and I've warned our audience in the introduction what a raving fan I am of you and your books, and how, you know, when I discovered your books, I think I probably saw somebody post something on Instagram and went out, bought one of your books, immediately went out and bought all the rest. And they are just, they're books that just speak to me. And I know that when so many folks listen to this interview today, by the time they get to the end, they're going to be as raving of a fan of you as I am. But one of the things that you that spoke to me when I read one of your books, and again, they're all amazing. You had you really have an amazing story. And the reason I'm going to add a little bit of context here before you answer. The reason that I'm asking this is you have a great story about how you ended up leaving, I'll say, corporate America and starting to pursue your passion and write. And now you're making an impact on so many people's lives, mine included, with attitude and wellness and happiness. And the reason that I say that this is important and the reason that we're going to start featuring a lot of guests like this on the show is that's a big part. We're going to reference this later in our interview of wellness, of being healthy and happy is pursuing your passion. So I'd love for you to share with everybody that's listening how you ended up becoming an author and pursuing doing what you love.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for your kind words. And I think it's important to actually start there because I haven't always been doing the work that I do, which is writing and coaching and sharing and empowering people to be true to themselves. And I learned really through my own life experience. Through my 20s, I was pursuing a corporate route. I was working in advertising, climbing the corporate ladder, and I was dating a man who wanted to marry me. And we had so much money, we didn't know what to do with. It was just all the benchmarks of what society and culture and our family says success is. I had it. It was like, check, check, got it. But there was a whole different story going on in the inside. I couldn't look in the mirror and say anything good about myself. I actually hated myself. I was addicted to painkillers and drugs, and I was suffering from eating disorders. And I went to the doctor, and she diagnosed me with clinical depression. And it was that day that was actually a turning point for me because I came home and like many other days, I was having a bathroom breakdown where I was crying on the floor. But this day was very different because I said, I can't do this anymore. I cannot. It is so incredibly exhausting to be someone you aren't. I can't do this. And in that moment, the air around me thinned out and my inner voice and almost like a higher power said, follow your heart. You have everything you need. Follow your heart. And it was this clarity that is like lightning hitting you. All of a sudden, I was like, wow, I just have to follow my heart. And then I was like, well, I don't even know what I want because I've been so focused on what I thought I wanted until I asked myself, does this really make sense? And so for me, following your heart is about being true to yourself. And so I looked at my whole life and I realized I was not being true to myself on any level. I was with a man I didn't want to marry. I was in a corporate career that suffocated my soul and I couldn't be who I really wanted. So in that experience, I took stock and I discovered through the transition of leaving everything that did not work, the job, the relationship, the city I lived in, I found my purpose and found what makes me feel alive, which is now helping others feel alive as well.
Oh my God. I get chills listening and I can relate to both your before and your after. And I know so many people that are listening, you know, again, I think you can hear when Shannon is in her answer, what could be more stressful than being in a dead end job in a relationship that's toxic? But so many of us stay there and so much of what you address in your book, and I'll get to that in many of your books actually, is talking about how you first recognize that, because I frankly think most people, I was one of them, you don't even realize it. You don't realize how much you are not enjoying your life. You don't realize that, hey, I'm in this mind-numbing job, and guess what? I don't have to be here. You talked about being stuck and how so many of us think we're stuck in this relationship, we're stuck in this business, we're stuck in this job, we're stuck in this mortgage, and it's so not true. What's your take on, and when did you first realize, was it back then when you had that aha moment about, you know, hey, I want to pursue my passion? But do you have a lot of folks that you work with and that come to you after reading your books that have that, wait a minute, I had that realization that I'm not stuck, and what does being stuck actually mean, or what do people think it means?
It's a brilliant, brilliant question, because I feel most of us, to be human, is to feel kind of trapped by certain circumstances. It's just we learn how to process life. And I really got to a place, and to answer your question, yes, all through my 20s and climbing the corporate ladder. And I was in that position because I felt stuck. And I had never asked myself, what is it you really want? And what is it that really matters to you? I was just going through the motions. And I thought this was my fate. I had graduate school loans. I mean, this was my life. And so many of us feel stuck. But then I got to a place in learning that we are only stuck. We always have a choice. And thinking we don't have a choice is actually a choice. And once I really adopted that mindset, I realized that I always have a choice. Maybe I can't actually leave this particular city or this job right now. I could, but like if you're in a relationship and you're wondering if you should go through a divorce, maybe the circumstances at this very, very, very moment, you might not be able to leave. So you feel stuck, but we have a choice on how we're perceiving it. And it starts in the mind. And when we can start to loosen the reins and realize, wow, I actually have more options in front of me. And so it's about like taking like a racehorse. They have these blinders on and we're going through life and we're covered. And it's like, take those blinders off and you see these amazing amazing, tremendous opportunities all around you, and lots of resources will come to you, and you realize you're not stuck at all. And that's really where we want to be as far as moving forward and getting unstuck, because we all, no matter what circumstances we're in, even, you know, there's stories about people who are in jail and they are trapped, but they free themselves because of the power of their mind.
I love what you said about having choices. Is that, you think, the most significant step is just getting to a place where, like, hey, what are my next action steps that can move me out of this because I'm not stuck? Do you say that that's like the most significant next thing?
So important, 100%. I think actually recognizing that we're not stuck is monumental in moving us forward, because we realize, okay, I can take my power back, because it's very powerless to feel stuck. And then what really, really transforms our experience is to actually, as you said, very small steps in how you talk about yourself or talk about the situation, such as, for example, for me, the most, really the biggest step forward was going to gratitude. So I was in a corporate job. I hated my job. I hated the team I was on. I would cry in the bathroom at work. Mm-hmm. And once I kind of hit my bathroom breakdown and had this clarity of I can be true to myself and follow my heart, it's not like the very next day I went in and said, I quit. It was a process. But the very next day I did go in and I said, how can I look at this differently? And all of a sudden I started to, instead of being defensive with my coworkers, I started to talk to them a little more and not judge them. And I started to say, I'm thankful. As much as I don't like the work I'm doing, I get to pay my bills. I get to live in a beautiful loft or whatever it may be. And so that gratitude is really a small shift that we can do immediately. What are we thankful for?
And that's so true. And gratitude, I know you talk about this in your book, gratitude can be the perfect antidote to fear. And I feel like fear, whether people recognize it, that it's fear really deep down inside, is such an impediment in yeah. so many, you know, whether you've gotten to that point of awareness that, hey, I'm in a bad situation, I'm not liking life right now, whether it's in one area or many areas, they might not realize that they have those choices. But when they start, would you agree, and did this happen to you, that you might see your choices and lay it out and go, okay, well, like, I want to leave my job, I don't like this job, or I want to start my own business, or in your case, I want to start helping people and writing books, and you'd never done it before. And that's when, in my experience, fear kicks in and you get that thing in your stomach where you're like, I can't do this. I'm not qualified. Who am I? You know, absolutely. I can't start a company. So how did you deal with that fear? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, well, yeah, I'd love to do that, but I don't have this. And you start to go through all the reasons why you can't. But really what that is fear trying to push you to the side and say, exactly. You can't do it. How do you deal with fear?
And that's exactly it. And I think fear comes up before we even leave the situation that maybe is harming us or that is not serving us in the greater possibility of what might be for our life. And so I think it does come back to the idea that it's one step at a time. One step at a time, only, very simple. What one step can you take right now? Because have you ever recognized that as soon as we take that step, think about a time in your life when we were fearful or you were approaching something that was new or something in the unknown, you take that step, the fear goes away immediately. Whether you're going out on a new date or going out to buy a new home, whatever it may be. So really it comes back to the idea also that we learn the way on the way. And I realized that I don't have to know all the answers. So what can I do? And I started to adopt the mindset. What can I do today that my future self will hug me for? And I was like, I want to be a published author, but I have a design background. Like, I'm a graphic designer. And so I decided to look at authors and start reading books of people who inspired me and see what kind of genres. Like, I didn't even know what I wanted to write about at first. You know, I just knew I liked to write. And so you kind of do the mini research. And then I researched self-publishing versus traditional publishing. How do you get a book agent? And so I taught myself. And I had the idea every day, as long as my future self is hugging me, then I'm moving forward. And the fear really does disappear. It changes form. And I think it's important to know that our fear isn't always bad. We have to recognize it, though, and give it attention. Because I personally believe fear acts out and will sabotage us from moving forward and keep us stuck if we ignore it. But when it's just like a lonely little kid who's crying out and lashing out, I need help, right? Like, when you ignore it, it gets louder, it gets stubborn. But when you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll just hug you and listen to you, everything is better. And so I actually kind of dance with my fear now, you know, and it's a beautiful experience that we can all do because fear can guide us forward.
I can't emphasize this enough for everybody that's listening. This is so true. And when you start to implement this in your life, you know, I almost like say, become a detective and look for the fear to show up in your life.
Right?
Because, you know, fear doesn't have to be like, I'm terrified there's a man behind me with a knife going to kill me. Fear can be discomfort. It can be like, oh, I can't do that. It's doubt. It's that nagging. Oh, what if? When you recognize it, you can literally walk yourself out of it. Do you agree?
I absolutely love that. What I love is you're actually giving yourself credit. And I think a lot of times we don't. We just tunnel through and keep barging forward. And you're appreciating yourself and you're celebrating yourself. And I think that's a big part of it. Mm. And as you said that, something really came up, which really helps for moving through fear. You actually said some of the main fears. You know, what if I can't make money? No one wants to hear me. These are all things as we pursue new opportunities that come up, especially if we're leaving something that's comfortable. And a really good tool and exercise is something I use in my practice and in my books as well, is to turn that fear almost into like a fascination, into a mantra. And so how we do that is you take the fear and you can write them all out. So what if I don't make money? That's a fear. And it keeps playing in your head. So you write that down on the left side, and the left side of your paper would be like the fear. On the right side, you have the column, the truth. And on that side, you actually have the opposite of whatever you wrote. So what if I don't make money doing what I love? So a big fear of mine was you can't make living doing what you love. Like you just can't, there's no money in writing whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And this is something a lot of people believe. And this is something I believed when I first left. But on the right side of that, I said, I make a fabulous living doing what I love. And I started to repeat that daily. I started to repeat that all the time in the face of that fear, that positive influence of a mantra, as I call it, which is just a positive affirmation. Today, I make a fabulous living doing what I love. And I did then too, because I was conditioning myself to believe what's possible instead of limited by the fear.
You mentioned facing your fears and doing the things that scared you earlier.
No, that's absolutely amazing, because that's what it's about. It's about taking these steps to really move your life forward. And as you do that, you become an expanded version of yourself, which is the best version of yourself. So today I am happier, you know, fitter, smarter because of these choices we make. And so a lot of times people ask, are you sad that you went through depression? Like, do you regret that you were, you know, addicted to drugs? And I say, absolutely not, because all of that and my multiple rock bottoms have allowed me to become and get clear about who and what I really need for my life. And I think if we can stop looking at our troubles and our setbacks and the situations that we are going through that feel like life is attacking us, and kind of transform it into life doesn't happen, life is really happening for me instead of to me, we be also again become more empowered and realize, again, connect to the future self. That's really how I pulled through my depression. I sat there on the floor and I said, what would future me, the one who's wiser, smarter, thinner, smarter, like what would she say to me? And I was like, wow, that's me. That's already inside of me. I just need to kind of remove this stuff that's not working and get to meet her sooner.
Mm. Oh God, I heard that actually, I'm trying to think of, it was an example in one book where they said, visualize your future version of yourself. And that's a great exercise. You have the ability to be wiser and look back then. So project yourself in the future and say, okay, you know, this is me 3 years, because I know I'm going to be successful. What will I say to myself? All of these troubles are not that troubling in the big scheme of things. So I love that exercise. I love also what you said, things are not happening to you. They are happening for you. And I'm going to put a little pause after that for everybody. I'm going to say it again. Everything that happens in your life is happening for you. It's not happening to you. And I hope you're picking up on that.
I love what you're saying, Kelly. It's so beautiful, because what you're saying is really show up. And I think sometimes we try, when we're in these divine storms, so to speak, or these horrible things that are happening, because what's happening is we had these expectations of how our life should be. And all of a sudden someone's telling us they wanted a divorce, or the job, we get laid off, or we decide that this job isn't working. These things that are devastating, but looking at them, and sometimes when you're in it and say, why is this happening? It's too soon, I think, for me in my life. And I talk about that in the book too. It's so good to be aware and say, why is this happening? We should do it. But sometimes we don't know as it's happening. And so what I really go to is just show up. Keep showing up for yourself and saying, how can I continue to be the best version of me in this moment? And how can I really shine right now forward, even in this chaos? And then soon, all like today, you just said, you know, I'm no longer a people pleaser. Or I don't please, you know, you learned these valuable lessons of woman and being woman up.
One of my favorite quotes, I had these cards that I bought and it said, a garden is never finished. And I think it's such a perfect, it's a perfect way to look at life. Like, hey, I recognize that I was a massive people pleaser, and having that ability to see that in myself, it's never going to go away. I'm going to have to always work on it, because it's hard for me to have crucial conversations with people, because I want to make everybody happy with me and everybody like me. But the fact that I recognize it means that I can do better. And the fact that I force myself, like you said, to face some of my fears, which are having some difficult conversations where I had to be terse with certain people. Once I got off the phone and my hands were shaking while I was talking, they didn't know it. I got off. I'm like, I did it. It was the best. I did. I ran in, and Kevin Cottrell is my witness, because I ran in, and actually he was the one that made me do it. But I came in, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just did that phone call, and guess what? I'm okay. And I'm not the Wicked Witch of the West. I was firm, and I said what I needed to say, and you know what? I could do it again. Who else do I need to yell at?
Yes. And I think that's it, right? You show up for yourself, and then it becomes this kind of ricochet, this snowball effect of it feels good because you're in your truth, and you're aligned with who you really are. And that's empowering. We want to be empowered. That's important for us.
Amen. One of the things that came up in your books and that we've talked about, and that I know if folks have not started down this road yet, right, where they're really going to evaluate their life, there's a phrase called self-limiting beliefs. And I first heard it when I went to a Tony Robbins event, which, again, 5 years ago, I would have been like, I would rather throw myself off a ledge than to go to a, you know, but I went to a Tony Robbins seminar, and for what it's worth, I walked on fire and I loved it. and it changed my life. But for those that don't know, I mean, self-limiting beliefs are huge, whether you start your own business, become an author, work for somebody else. We all have them. What for the layman out there that doesn't know what this means, how would you define self-limiting beliefs, and how do they affect people or limit people?
Yeah, so a self-limiting belief is something we believe about ourselves that is based on fear and ego. And so the ego is actually lives in our head, and it's the judgmental voice that's part of us that says we're not good enough. So a self-limiting belief could be, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. A big one for me was, I'm not lovable. No matter what stage I was in my life, no matter how much success I had, I always felt like something was wrong with me. I felt awkward. And I think these beliefs start when we're little, but also sometimes they just carry with us throughout our whole life. And if we aren't aware of them, we see the world through the lens of these limiting beliefs, which are all of the things that stop us. And so really, it's a belief, and beliefs can change. Just like sometimes we believe in a certain religion, people change religions. Sometimes people believe in a certain, you know, figure, and then they change their mind. Beliefs can be changed. And so once we recognize that these limiting beliefs are not really helping us move forward at all, we transform them into more powerful beliefs, and we remove the fear.
When I identified it, I was like, wow, because not only do your self-limiting beliefs, it's not just a belief, it can actually fuel your actions and how you proceed in life. So from a very young age, I'm going to just say high school on, everybody in my family, I'm the middle child, and my older brother and my younger sister are both extremely good at finances and details. I am the wild hippie child, the middle child, the girl that was like, you know, don't hold me down. I'm starting college late. I was a late bloomer in everything I did. And I've never been, see, I'm even saying it. I've never been good with money. That was the phrase and the belief that was driven into my head, partially by my family, partially by my friends. And so in college, I began to believe that I was financially irresponsible. And I would always say, I'm not good with money. And you know what happens when you do that, people? You give yourself the excuse to not be good with money, because, and whatever it is, I can't lose weight. So, well, I'm just not going to work out because I can't lose weight. I've tried everything. No, you haven't. Mm-hmm. I'm not good in relationships. I'm not lovable. Whatever it is, I'm 47. It took me until I was in my 40s to figure out, you know what? When I actually pay attention and map out a budget, I'm damn good at it. And it was actually fun. I just got over, like, guess what? The only reason I think that I'm not good at money is because everybody kind of said I wasn't, and then I believed them, and then I acted that way. Step back and understand your self-limiting beliefs are probably a bunch of hoo-ha. Would
right.
you agree?
100%. You know? Yeah. And they feel very real. I used to really think I was ugly and unworthy and fat and you know, unlovable. It was just my fate. That's who I was. No matter what I did, I could not lose weight. And so they feel very real. But once we realize that this is a form of fear, it's just a little sneaky sabotaging habit that fear is doing to us, then we can, like you said, it's a bunch of hoo-ha. Like, let's just move forward and say, you know what? What would happen if I said I am lovable? I can lose weight. I am amazing.
Because we are, right?
Yes.
I'm giving you a fist pump from all the way over here.
I am
here.
Too. I'm hugging you. Jumping up and down. And in fact, this is what my whole entire next book about. It comes out in August, called The Self-Love Experiment. It's my new book.
I'm so excited. I didn't know that, you guys. Sorry.
And it is all on this topic of really learning to remove these beliefs and loving yourself for who you are, as you are, because you are enough.
God, and that is, I totally did not know you were going to say that. this is actually good. It's going to be a great, we're wrapping up. We're getting close to the end of our time, but this is a perfect segue, because everything you just said, you know, this is a big topic we want to focus on in Fitfluential as we really start educating on Fitfluential Radio, on Fitfluential and our platforms, on health and longevity, and not just how to lose 10 pounds or how to get 6-pack abs or, you know, how to cut your calories more. That's not what we're about. We want people to live happy, healthy, fulfilling lives, because that's a big part of wellness, right?
Yes.
It's being happy. It's doing work that you love. It's making an impact on the world around you. It's having work-life balance, so you don't just clock in and out, go home, go to bed, get up the next day and trudge to work. It's like getting up every day and finding joy and passing that
yes.
joy on.
Yes.
And you can't do that if you are not happy with yourself. And you know, I used to hear the words and the phrase self-love, and I'm like, oh my God.
Right,
like,
right.
I remember that Whitney Houston song, The Greatest Love of All, and I remember saying at the time, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And now I understand that taking care of yourself, respecting yourself, having confidence so that you can be better at serving and making the impact on others around you, it's real. And it's also like, if you're miserable with yourself, and Shannon, I can relate to so many things you said about being insecure and thinking I'm unworthy of love, all those things. I've been the same way. And when you are that way, when you're not focused on being happy and appreciative of yourself and being proud, you kind of withdraw into yourself, right? And what
yeah.
kind of an impact are you making on the world? You can't do that when you're down and when you're out. So one of the, I actually want to close on this, because one of the last questions I had here, and it was from one of your books. It's a phrase that you use that I think is a good segue. You talked about really finding your happy, and that one of the things we all need to do, and it's what you talked about, what I just referred to, is you've got to break up with your issues, right? And I have enough issues that I could develop a website, you know, like we could just have KellyAlexisIssues.com and people could write in from all over the world and go, oh, let me tell you what she's like about this. But what does, in wrapping up, because I know I've got to let you go, what does breaking up with your issues mean, and in the most simple form, and how did you start doing that?
Yeah, I think it goes along with everything we've been talking about today, is a lot of times we feel like we get hooked into the drama of our life. And what I mean by that is the certain problems, the situation. So a big issue for me for so long was I can't lose weight. I'm just doomed to be a big bone person forever. And I had to break up with that issue of believing that I was overweight, ugly, fat. Yes, I was overweight, but really it came back to me not respecting myself or treating myself with kindness. And so I recognize that I can still be in this body, or a body that doesn't look like what people say it should, and I can break up with that issue, cut it clean, like you're breaking up with an ex, rip that Band-Aid off, and instead tell a new story. And what I discovered is that self-love and a showing up for yourself is not about how you look or even exactly what you do. It's all about how you live. And so when we take these choices and we make them from an empowered place, all of a sudden we start to take better care of ourselves. We start to look better on the inside, manifested and coming forward in the outside. So it's really about cutting it clean. So what issue is holding you back? I encourage every listener to ask yourself, what problem has been in my life and it's causing so much emotional drainage that I don't have time to focus on me or what I really want? It's taking up so much time. Break up with that issue by removing it and letting go and saying, this no longer serves me. I want to connect with my future self. I want to be empowered, and I choose me.
I'm hugging you again, girl, from all the way over here. That was awesome. Another truth bomb. I know everybody, if you picked up what I'm sensing on the show, you're in love with Shannon just like I am. She's amazing, ridiculously talented. When you read her books, like I said, I guarantee you, you're going to want to buy them as gifts for everybody. I know that she's going to speak to you. You are this happy, joyful person who knows how to make an impact on others, and you're walking the walk. So I'm so glad I got to bring you to the Fitfluential community. I'm totally going to stalk you and have you back on the show, especially when you have your new book out.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Yes.
It was awesome. So we will link up to all of your books in the show. And again, I'll stalk you and ask you back on the show. But for everybody listening, tell us, where is the best place that they can find you online?
So I have a website called playwiththeworld.com. And if you are actually interested, you can download a free Manifest Your Ideal Life. So all of what we've talked about today, I have an audio meditation that will help you kind of guide yourself to visualize being happy and moving through everything that's holding you back. So you can go to playwiththeworld.com, or you can certainly go to my Facebook page, which is my first name and last name, Writes. So Shannon Kaiser Writes. That's my author platform. I'm sharing resources and inspirational messages there all the time.
She is awesome. That's all I have to say. Shannon, it's been a total honor. And I know I geeked out way too much on the show, but whatever. You're awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. Everybody, thank you for listening. You can look at the show notes for everything we mentioned on fitfluentialradio.com. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.